Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow, a lot of things have changed since last week when we met, including this sermon. Let's see, what can we start with? Well, since we last met, all the schools in the entire state of Michigan have closed, including colleges. All major sporting events have been canceled or postponed, along with concert venues and other things. We've seen food and paper products and water literally disappearing off the shelves. Restaurants are open, but now they're only open for takeout. Bars are closed. And I couldn't help but thinking to myself, this is probably the first St. Paddy's Day that the bars weren't open since Prohibition, I guess. I have no idea. You might have people within your circle or your family or friends that may have been either exposed or could possibly be infected. Businesses are closing doors in favor of working from home. We've seen a historic plunge in the stock market. And then just this past week, I've also seen that they've closed all the beaches. We could go on. There's more and more things that have been changing. But with all that said, one thing hasn't changed. God is still on his throne, and he is still in charge. So the way I see it is we can look at this situation one of two ways. We can look at it and see it as the end of everything. Or we could look at it and see it the way God sees it, the way Jesus sees it. We can see it in a way that a lot of our distractions have been removed. Now, I know there's people worrying about their jobs, there's people worrying about their 401ks, there's people worrying about what school has to hold and all these other things, but at the same time, we're all in the same boat. These things have been removed. We don't have the sporting events to distract us. We don't have concerts to distract us. We have neighbors that we can social distance from, but you can still talk to them maybe over a fence. You can see the world how Jesus sees it without all the busyness. Let's hear his words. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world that those who do not see may see, and for those who see to become blind." I just wanted to take a walk through the story that we read today. Now, there were certain parts of it that were omitted out, but the whole story in general says the disciples questioned Jesus, why was this man born blind? Was it him? Or was it his parents that sinned to cause this problem? And Jesus answered them simply by saying, it was neither of those things. It was so that my glory, or God's glory, might be shown in this man. This man was born this way so that Jesus could come along. And Jesus could heal this man out in the open, in public, for the world to see. And he's showing God's great mercy, and he's showing his great power in this healing. Now, when we were born into this world, we were born spiritually blind, just like the man in the story was born physically blind. Now, we see Jesus, at this point, spit on the ground and make mud and put it in the man's eyes, and he told him, go rinse in the pool. And through that command, his eyes were opened, and he was able to see. Now, in the same way, in our baptism, we are brought before Jesus. We are commanded to be rinsed in the water, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in order that our spiritual blindness might be cured, and we might have the gift of spiritual sight. Now, mind you, the key to this is not the man who's blind, or even us. It's the work of God that opens the man's eyes physically and our eyes spiritually. We see His truth. Now, just like in the world, we see Pharisees. The Pharisees, they got to challenge everything, don't they? They got to challenge everything. They challenge this man about his sight. They challenge about how it was done, and mostly about when it was done. Now we know Jesus never lets a good Sabbath go to waste. They claimed he couldn't be from God because he violated the Sabbath. Now that was in their minds, right? They said he violated the Sabbath, therefore he could not really be from God. Now listen to what Jesus says again. For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be blind. The young man proclaimed his faith in Jesus, and when they questioned him, he said he was a prophet. His eyes were opened more than just physically. The Pharisees, still not believing the young man, they call his parents in the story. They call them in to question them about this whole incident. And the parents were frightened. They were frightened of the Pharisees and their standing in the church or in the whole community. And they literally took their own son and threw him right under the bus. They said, you know what? He's of his own age. Ask him what happened. We don't know. The Pharisees called the young man back in. They challenged him again. On healing, they accused Jesus of being a sinner. And the man replies, to whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. But this I know, I was blind, and now I see. They kept pressing him and pressing him. And finally the young man says, what is it? It seems like you want to be one of his disciples. And they were very angry with this, and they said, we are disciples of Moses. So they're disciples of Moses. Moses represents the law. So they're disciples of the law. The man then continues to scold them. He says, you guys are the spiritual elite. How do you not know where this man came from? How could he heal me if you say God doesn't listen to sinners? And then he drives it home by saying, I have never heard of anyone being born blind receiving their sight. And with that, they tossed him out. They kicked him to the curb. So I break this, in breaking this passage down, I begin to see a lot of similarities that in life that happen to believers. When our spiritual eyes are opened, how do your friends react when your eyes are opened? Do they distance themselves from you? Well, there's that religious guy again. Do they heckle you? Where's your God now? I thought God was, I mean, especially in this time, right? Where's God in all this, right? Do they turn on you? Do you lose friends? How does your family react? I would challenge, some might react in the exact same way as your friends. We find out that faith is fine as long as it doesn't impede on the world of those who are still blind. As long as the law does not apply to them. As long as they don't feel the guilt. What is good for you is not always good for me. But what is it? What's good for thee but not for me? We look at it that way. As long as they don't have that sense of guilt that you might bring out because of your behavior in following your Creator. As long as they don't feel all the things of this world could be merely distractions created to keep us and keep them from a relationship with God. Now, I think of a few things that come to mind would be money as a distraction, power, entertainment, drugs, alcohol. There's many things that could go on. But having our spiritual eyes open guides us. It guides us to understand things of the world aren't always necessarily bad. They're not bad when they're used in the way God intended them to be used. Money is not evil. It's the root of all kinds of evil. If it's used properly in the way God designed money to be used, it can be used well. It can be used to help those who are less fortunate. It can be used to help create homes and buildings for people. Entertainment was another one that I thought of. God gave people a lot of talents. There's talented sports people. There's talented actors. There's talented singers. These are good things, but if we were reminded that it's God who provided, then they're not necessarily bad. And the big thing is as long as we don't make them all out to be gods, our own gods, we don't want money to be our God. We don't want entertainment to be our God. We want God to be our God. Having our spiritual sight open also reminds us to understand the proper use of the law. The law is not for salvation. The law is a curb, it's a mirror, and it's a guide. Understanding that because we can't keep the law, Jesus came and he kept the law because he knew there was no way we were going to do it. Having your spiritual eyes open helps you to be God's hands and feet, instruments used to continue to open more eyes of those blind people. This one really struck me when I thought about it. When our spiritual eyes are opened, we are given a heart for eternity. We don't think that this is it. We know there's something after life here on earth. We know that it's beautiful and it's glorious and it's eternal. But even in our wildest imagination, I don't think we can even imagine how beautiful and glorious it's going to be. But this is our hope for eternity. This is what we long for. This creates the hope that no matter how much we might suffer here in this time, that there's something far, far greater waiting for us. And most importantly, with our spiritual eyes open, we know that Jesus came and he died for us. And that is the greatest gift anyone can give. To step in and take our place, to take our punishment, and then to fill us with his Holy Spirit, to open our eyes, to give us the opportunity to see the world the way he sees it. And brothers and sisters, we are born blind, not always physically, but we are always born blind spiritually. The Bible tells us that nobody seeks after God, no one. The Bible also tells us that he sent Jesus to rescue us, to heal us, to give us our sight, that we may come out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Where have we heard that? At your baptism. A lot like today's scripture, the man washing away the mud from his eyes as Jesus commanded him, we are washed in the waters of our baptism. This washing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is a holy washing, one that carries the power of God's word. It opens our eyes and gives us sight to the spiritual reality that we live in. The darkness we once dwelled in is illuminated by his glory. We can then see Jesus in his word. As we grow, we receive him in the Lord's Supper, in the form of his body and his blood. This strengthens us in both body and soul in order that we might continue to live reconciled with the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. We are made alive in Him. And we are able to live and enjoy to the fullest the kingdom of light that He intended from the very beginning. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You so much for Your words, so much for rescuing us. Lord, we ask You to fill us with Your Spirit that we might move through these uncertain times in faith, knowing that You are there for us, knowing that You are in control, Lord, that money doesn't matter and that power doesn't matter and that our jobs will be there, Lord, that we will be taken care of, we will eat because You care so much about us. Lord, just guide us and direct us. Let us be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope to the rest of this world, that they know that they can trust in You to bring them through these tough times. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until eternity. Amen. Please rise for our time of prayer.